Buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping clovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
There we go.
All right, we're live. McCarthy is live. New glasses for Chris McCarthy. It's GloucesterCast 464. And we are joined with Jimmy and Pat Dalpias.
Morning.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We have Nicole Schraft with us.
Good morning.
Zach Sears in the bottom right.
Morning.
Chris McCarthy, bottom middle. And Scotty Mack.
It's the Brady Bunch.
It's the Brady Bunch. We have Brian LaFada, Gloucester Athletic Director. Brian LaFada coming on at 9:40 as well.
Hey, Joey, before we start, we've got to do it with happy birthday to Chris McCarthy. Happy birthday, buddy.
It's not my birthday.
Yes, it is.
No.
Okay, couple of days.
Good it's morning, Lynn. Good morning, Joey. Welcome.
Yeah, my birthday.
Oh, Lynn's in Tallahassee now. Out of Hawaii in the notes, she just said, greetings from Tallahassee. We've been watching Lynn and Phil go from Gloucester all across the country to Hawaii, back across the country, and now they're in Tallahassee.
I got to tell you, if you're tracking Lynn and Phil on their adventures right now, I think they've hit every, like, gentleman's, what do you call it, cat house across the United States.
Right.
I would see pictures of Phil at like Larry Flint's Hustler and the Bunny Ranch, I think, in Vegas. They've hit them all.
Awesome.
I think Zach has a second monitor going, like is logged in twice or something. I'm getting a little reverberation. No, okay. All right, so I have a question. We have an option to put the overlay of the comments on, and I'm going to toggle that on right now. And I want to know from our readers. So in the right hand side of the picture right now, when someone does a message, it'll show up in the right hand side here. Hopefully someone does a message right now. Okay, right there. Michael Bertolino just said shared. If you're looking at the, from, I want the viewer's perspective. Do you like this view better where it says the comments as they come in on the right hand side, or do you like it that not on, I'll toggle it off right now, or do you prefer it that way? And the reason I ask the question is we're looking at it on our big panels, our laptops and everything else. For someone that is looking at it on their, say, cell phone or iPad, I don't know if they can read those small comments on the side anyway. So it's either this, vote for no chat in the sidebar, or this with chat in the sidebar. Let's hear what our viewers have to say. Alicia Cox says she likes the sidebar.
Big decisions today, Joe. Big decisions.
Well, we try to make the viewers happy.
Yeah.
Pauline Bresnahan says hi to Zach. We have Alicia Cox, Lois Ann Whitmarsh, Mike Bertolino, Arlie Pett, Pauline Bresnahan, Brenda Grimes Davis, Joey Foote, and Lynn Scannell is with us. Rich Bean is with us. Joey Barr says Joey Foote votes for the sidebar. Sean Jordan votes for the sidebar. The sidebar apparently is staying.
Do we all have a happy birthday to Joey Foote?
Everybody likes the sidebar.
Is there a belated birthday to Joey Foote?
That's correct. Happy birthday to belated to Joey Foote.
All right. Bushwhackers for Joey Foote next time we see him at
the Kathy, right out of the gate with a secret word.
Funny, Chris, I was just thinking that Lynn and Phil have really been bushwhacking their way across the country. I was just thinking that. I don't know why.
I was watching old wrestling tapes the other day, and the Bushwhacker twins were on there.
Oh
man, I love them.
Wow.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You know, in the Australia, where they grill a lot. You know, did you guys know how popular Weber grills are in Australia, where in the outback, where the bushwhackers are?
I did not know that, Joe. However, will you be on a trip to Australia to bring back a Weber? That's the question.
Will I be on the trip to bring back?
Yeah. I got to send Jimmy over there. So there you go.
Jimmy's like the very own Guillermo from Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's like the very own Guillermo of the show.
So we have a couple of things we want to talk about. So this week I did a post, and I had it in my head that I wanted to go to Yellow Sub for a tuna sub, because in town I feel like and Zach is a hardcore local. I want him to confirm or deny this statement. Would you say, Zach, that Yellow Sub is known as the tuna sub place?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so I'm not out in left field with that. Okay, and you know, I think most people would recognize Destino's as a traditional steak and cheese place, right?
Destino's.
Yep. So yeah. There you go.
I will say though, I think the Captain Hook's cheesesteak is unbelievable as well.
Well, wow, that's interesting. I never thought to get it. I always think of pizza when I think Captain Hook's and lobster roll.
They do everything awesome. Captain Hook is awesome.
No, it's my cousin Frankie's niece is Jessica and Al, and they're really fantastic, hardworking people. So I think what we're gonna do is, as we've done in the past, we did a cheesesteak challenge, we did a roast beef sandwich challenge. And I think we did a pizza one. I'm not sure. We did the bourbon one. We're going to do a tuna sub challenge where we get tuna subs from five different places and blind taste test. And we're going to weigh them. We're going to divide the weight into the price, and we're going to determine a value metric. We're going to do a taste metric. We're going to do a presentation metric, and we're going to come up with a final score, and it's all going to be blind taste test. What?
A blind taste test. I love it. You can wear a blindfold and play Smell My Finger.
Scotty, you're terrible.
Check, please.
So, so Yellow Sub is definitely going to be one.
Oh, my God.
Destino's has got to be one.
But that's
where I was going with this. Is there's someone that never gets overlooked for subs quite often, and they make tremendous subs, and that is Jeff's Variety. So we're gonna have to throw Jeff's Variety in there, and a wild card, because this just came up. Did you know that? I'm gonna read it off the prompter here, because I don't want to mess it up, because there may be legal ramifications involved. Did you guys know that the Subway has defended, on Friday, Subway defended itself against a baseless lawsuit claiming the fast food chain is actually, the fast food chain's tuna is actually a mixture of various concoctions.
Ooh. That's why I like it so much.
Do tell, Commander.
The lawsuit filed against the fast food chain last week claimed there is no tuna or fish in its sandwich or wraps. Instead, the tuna is a mixture of various concoctions that do not constitute tuna, yet have been blended together by defendants to imitate the appearance of tuna, according to the complaint. The filing is based on an independent analysis that supposedly showed that there was no tuna or fish present on multiple samples of the sandwich. Subway is being accused of fraud, intentional misrepresentation, and unjust enrichment, among other offenses.
Wow.
That was a mic drop. Joey just left the screen.
I might have to go to Jared for some way on this one.
Oh. Yeah, Jared got in big trouble, too.
Some sort of concoction on that tuna fish. I don't know.
First it's Jared, and now it's their tuna. But I'm a big fan of Subway tuna. That's my go-to when I go to a Subway. So I heard that same report, Joe. So I thought that was very interesting.
Well, it's also 17 years ago, Jessica Simpson weighed in on the Subway tuna scandal. And really, her opinion is the only one that mattered. She said, this is what she wrote 17 years ago. He publicly wondered whether chicken of the sea tuna was tuna or chicken.
I remember that. For Nick Lachey, I remember that.
Yeah. So Sean Jordan says true taste test means you don't know where the subs come from or which establishments made it. I agree with you 100%. We're going to present this. We're going to get a subs, five subs. We're going to cut them into fifths. We're going to put them on plates without I'll know who it is, and the esteemed panel of judges will taste each one after they're weighed and tabulated for the price.
Joe, being the food professional that I am going to know where the sub comes from just from the bread.
Well, that's all well and good, but I want you to keep that to yourself until after we tabulate the results.
So the taste test, is this going to include bread or no bread? Is this just going to be...
No. It's a sub. It's a tuna sub.
Yeah.
It's a tuna sub challenge.
Okay.
Tuna sub challenge.
So,
all right.
Joe, can we throw in one wild card and mix tuna with egg salad?
No.
Scotty, back me up here. You're a tuna egg salad guy, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to know from the listeners today how many have actually mixed tuna fish with egg salad
to
make a tuna egg salad sandwich.
Oh, no. It's an island favorite, hands down. Tuna and egg. And I throw a slice of American cheese, a little salt, pepper myself.
Yeah.
When Chris brought this to my attention when he ordered it the other day, I thought it was just an insane person ordering, but then Scotty confirmed that this is something that people do. I've never heard it. Okay, for the viewers out there, has anybody else thought to combine tuna salad and egg salad and eat it in a sub? Because I have never heard it in my entire life.
I'll tell you what, though. At the Super Sub in Beverly, they make a mean scrambled egg and cheese steak. They mix the two of those.
Well, Destino's has also been pimping their cheese steaks with buffalo chicken tenders in the cheese steak subs.
I haven't tried that one yet.
I haven't tried it, but a lot of people have been talking about it.
I think Vigilio's has some good tuna, too. We should put them on the list.
All right. All right, so okay, let's go over the list right now. The list is gonna be Vigilio's, and you gotta have them give it to you on a sub roll, not the flat roll. It's gonna be on a sub roll. Vigilio's, Destino's, Captain Hook's, obviously Yellow Sub,
Jeff's,
Subway, and Jeff's.
I have to say that that's the list, but I myself had enjoyed yesterday from the Pratty's Kitchen.
No.
It's cheesesteak, and it was probably one of the better ones I've had in a long time.
But it's not a traditional. It's not a traditional place.
Traditional or not, I'm just letting you know that you should try the Pratty's cheesesteak.
All right.
Hey, Zach, are you going to put tuna on the chicken sandwiches now over the Red Rooster?
I mean, if you're putting it with eggs, now I'm all kinds of confused. I don't know. Go in the test kitchen and do some rollouts.
Hey, what do you have, Zach? Is that the chicken before comes before the egg sandwich? Do we have that? That's a chicken sandwich with egg on it?
So there's that. I have to give props to Zach because 3 weeks ago, he called the Super Bowl. He said, Brady's going to run through these guys. He had complete confidence. So I want to give you your time right now, Zach, to beat your chest a little bit.
I mean, I'm pretty much a genius because I called this from you about 4 weeks ago. I said I texted you. I also texted you, so we had proof in writing.
It's true.
That he was going to beat Washington. He was going to go and retire old man Drew Brees, and then he was going to go and beat overrated Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau. And then beat Patrick Mahomes the Super Bowl. So we're almost there.
You called it. I mean, so that's why I gave you that airtime, because I am a man who will acknowledge other people's sports genius.
Thank you.
Craig Kimberly says he's making chicken biscuits. So there you go.
Nice.
There's that.
He's saying that they should start making chicken biscuits already. Come on, like already. Start making them.
Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, just back to the tuna for one sec. Every time I have Subway tuna, it makes me poop. So I think I'm going to join that lawsuit.
You're in? Well,
I'm in on the lawsuit.
You're in on the lawsuit. Okay. Well, there you go.
And since it makes me poop, isn't there a nice topic about toilet paper?
I was going to say, there's your segue.
All right.
Smooth.
All right. Very good. Very nice. All right. I'm going to take the airwaves for now. So last week, Stop and Shop had an incredible sale. And the sale was on 4 rolls of toilet paper for 50 cents. Okay. 4 rolls of toilet paper for 50 cents. Now, being the value guy that I am, and it conflicts with my previous stance of I will only buy number one high quality Charmin toilet paper, and that was my general rule. But when I went to this grocery store to buy the 18 pack of toilet paper, it was $18. So, and then I was going to get it. I put it in the cart, actually, and I was rolling down. And then in the side at Stop and Shop, it said 4 rolls for 50 cents, which is 12 and a half cents a roll as opposed to a dollar a roll. So I grabbed it. And I said, what do I have to lose? I'm going to go, and I'm going to, being a man of the people for our viewers.
Man of the people.
I said, I will take one for the team, I'll buy the roll, and I'll go home and poop, and I'm going to test it out.
What would you tell you?
So that's exactly what I did. First off, okay, I'm going to take the screen for a second. I don't normally like to do this because I feel like I'm, all right, here we go. So there is the proof. This is this morning's receipt. Everybody can see it, right? 50 cents. Normally $2.69 for a 4-pack, 50 cents, $2.19 off. And there you go. Okay? So you got that. Now, I have to say this.
You're not going to show us your ass, are you, Joey?
No, yeah. Please.
Was that the four-buster deal or the ass-buster deal?
So hold on. So here we go. Oh, I'm going to give you guys the – so now – under no circumstances, and when is a value a value, and when is a value not a value? So I'm going to show you something that is not a value. If it's 1 penny, it's not worth it at all. All right, this is the super cheap. This is super cheap toilet paper right here.
We could just about see your face through that.
This is not the 50 cents for 4 roll toilet paper, but this is 1 ply, what you would get in a porta potty toilet paper. Okay?
I see a shithead.
So there's that. All right. Now, here we are. And this is the Stop and Shop 50 cents for four roll toilet paper. Stop it. Right. So this right here is Kooply, and you cannot see through it. It has a nice little pattern on there, little pickup pattern. This,
because your butt cares about the pattern.
Well, no, it has like the little bumps to like get the little remnants of your poop out of your butthole.
The pickup pattern is important. Everybody knows that.
If you just have the flat, like this is just flat. There's no texture to it. This right here, for 50 cents up, for 50 cents a roll, 12 and a half cents a roll, that's okay. Now, on a scale from 1 to 10, the crappy toilet paper is a 2, I would say, right? And let's be clear, if you poop and you don't have anything else, this actually becomes a 10 because you need toilet paper, right? But the 12 and a half cents per roll toilet Stop and Shop toilet paper is not Charmin. Charmin is like a probably okay. You're gonna say Charmin's like an 8.5, right? Like this right here, I'm gonna say is a 6.5, which is more than usable. So if I'm you, I go and I load the cart up with go to Stop and Shop right now and load up.
How does it smell? What's the aroma? How's it smell?
I don't think I'm going to smell it. Hold on.
Oh, saying that is a bargain?
It's a bargain.
The thin stuff is a bargain?
No.
The 50 cents.
The super cheap one, the one ply I'm just comparing it. You can see through the super cheap stuff. This stuff at Stop and Shop is a better grade than the super cheap stuff. This is actually usable. It's decent toilet paper.
Joe, can you do a quick finger test?
Okay, we'll give you the quick finger test. Now, this is the one ply super cheap stuff, right?
Jeez.
Now, we're going to go to the Stop and Shop brand.
That's such science going on here.
Oh. It broke the thing before it broke. No, it's again, it's breaking at the tear. It's not breaking.
Nice. That's important.
That's a good demo.
Yeah.
Listen, for this is why we give back to our viewers. This is why you tune in.
I just want all the listeners to know if they're interested in getting that toilet paper, they better hurry up because I'm going down right now to buy it all out.
Now, I think we had something on our list for last week that we didn't discuss, but it's fitting right into the comments here. Is are you a folder or a buncher with your toilet paper?
Oh, yeah. Good point. I'm a baller. Go ahead. I'm a baller.
Got to throw that curveball down there. Got to do it.
You're straight up gangster there, McCarthy. I'm a baller.
Scotty, how about you?
I'm a baller too, man. I'll tell you what. The more imposing question would be, do you pull the toilet paper from the top of the roll?
No.
That's such an old topic. People, that's like the lazy podcaster fucking talk.
We have a lot of new viewers, though.
So wait a second. Scotty, you said you're a baller.
Baller.
Zach, are you a baller or are you a folder?
I'm a folder.
And Nicole?
Yeah, I'm a baller, which goes against everything I know, for the record. I had to visualize what I would do, and I'm even shocked myself that I'm not a roller, but I'm not.
We didn't hear from Pat.
More like the scrunching, more like a ball.
This is very surprising to me, and I feel like your parents all did you a huge injustice. My father at a young age, my father was a frugal guy, and he taught me at a young age how you handle this situation. You get the toilet paper
demo here,
right? You go halfsies, right? So you get a little bit thin there. Then You go once again. Now that's a four ply. That's 4 foot. That's double ply. So you got 8 plies right there, right? Because you doubled it over twice. Now you wipe right here, right? You wipe with this part right here. Then you fold, right?
Yeah.
You wipe again. You fold. You wipe again. You fold. You get like 4 or 5 wipes out of this. If you ball. I mean, how you're just going to wipe yourself with the scrunched up poop, like over and over again?
Apparently, there's another category. Sean Jordan indicating hand wrappers.
What's that?
Oh, ew!
Yeah,
You know, last week we had a teacher from Western Massachusetts say that they actually watch all this in the classroom and let the kids look at it to see what's going on. So, for all you kids who are checking this, don't try this at home.
WTF. Yeah.
And don't smell your finger.
Yeah.
WTF.
Oh my God. Well, nice job with the audio there.
Hey, yeah. Joe, I wanna take a minute and pause and ask everybody to please share the podcast today.
Thank you, Scotty. Thank you very much.
In your Facebook settings or wherever you're watching, type in shared and share it with the world so you can learn how to fold your toilet paper from Joyce.
Yeah, this is worldwide news we've got going on here.
And that's our prize is toilet paper. Is that right, Joe? Do we have any more prizes today? Or?
If you want Mr. Whipple. I want him to squeeze the Charmin.
Yeah.
Mr. Whipple. Mr.
Whipple.
Nice reference, Jimmy. Nice reference. Yes, we do have a prize today, and the prize is a 4-pack of toilet paper from Stop and Shop. If you share the podcast, you type "share" on the thing, you too can win one of those.
Value added.
We have
5 shares so far. Before you broke the news about the toilet paper.
Well, that's yeah.
Hey, I also wanted to add, Joe, real quick, is something we did before, but everybody type in the comments, where are you right now in the world? Where are you sitting watching the show?
We don't want to know where they're sitting.
Not sitting, no. Where are you watching from? Are you in
Hawaii?
He said
shitting, Pat. He said shitting, not sitting. Shitting. Where are you shitting?
Let us know where you are.
Where are you, and when's the last time you pooped?
Who's your daddy, and what does he do?
Are you? All right. That's a good question. Are you a morning pooper, an afternoon pooper, or an evening pooper, or all of the above?
Oh boy!
You know, why do we bother with show notes if we're just going to roll with this?
Yeah.
We're freestyling right now. All right.
I don't know if Santa Claus is being associated with this before he gets back in the kitchen. I'm pretty sure it's wrong to have the local chef on and spend the whole time talking about poop.
Yeah, I know.
I'm surprised you haven't
just logged off yet, Zach. I apologize on your behalf.
Zach, why don't you give us the updates on because last week you were supposed to come on, but you guys got slammed at Minglewood, and you actually had to put it off till this week.
Yeah, we've just want to thank everybody in the community for keeping us open. It's been the support has been we've been super busy. Everyone's being super cool, understanding the 25% capacity is. It's a tough one to navigate through, and there's a long wait at times, and people have been really awesome about it, and people are opting for takeout instead of a long wait, and that's what's keeping us going. So really, really grateful for everyone that's keeping us open.
I'm thankful for that fire, for the fireplace. I love going in there next to that fireplace.
That is a nice warm spot, especially this weekend.
Yeah.
Hey Zach, can you remind those of us who have the Serenity card what the formula is that's used from a points standpoint, because there seemed to be some disagreement between Joe and I in terms of how many points you get per dollar spent.
Yeah, I'm gonna go grab my notebook though, because we had to really analyze that the other day when you were in, because even I got confused by your question.
I mean, it's an unbelievable value. Again, just as a reminder to all the listeners, if you don't have the Serenity card, you can sign up online, go to their app, and it's one of the best deals around if you're a fan of the Serenity Group restaurants.
We went to Minglewood the other night, and when we looked up the card, there was $10 on it that I didn't even had seen the notice in my email. So, you know, there's surprise bonuses that pop up too, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely keep your eyes open when this, you know, it's a really cold day or raining or snowing. We'll randomly throw things on there to trim up a little extra business on those colder, rainy, snowy days too.
We have snow coming. Yeah, thank you, Nicole. We have snow coming tomorrow, Zach, but tomorrow into Tuesday, so beware.
I guess you'll keep your eyes open. It might pop up on Monday.
Can we save a table now by the fire, Zach? One, two, there's six of us right here, right?
That's the max.
All right. We've done takeout twice in the last 2 weeks. My younger son, Finn, he's been away both nights that we've done Minglewood takeout and the sulk fest that has happened, so we owe him lunch down there because he's missed the truffle fries and sushi twice. But even for the kids, that's like their go-to for takeout now. So good stuff.
Yeah, and you know what the move is, Nicole? You order the Red Rooster, Little Red Rooster, and you go in for a drink at Minglewood and hang out. And then actually you go to Minglewood, you hang out, have a beer or two, then you place the order. And you have another one or two beers, and then you get the beer, the fried chicken sandwich.
So Zach, you can do that. That counts as your food.
So we need you guys to be seated at a table before we can give you anybody a drink, and they'd have to have some sort of food purchase on the bill before we could.
So an order of fried pickles, and then you can do what Joey said, right?
Absolutely. Yep, that counts.
Yep.
That's part of the regulations. So it's not a company policy. It's just something we have to do at the moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's a perfect time to download the Serenity app because if we get a storm Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm not guaranteeing it, but there's a decent chance there might be some free $10 thing or some kind of thing happening there.
And usually those rewards will have some sort of takeout code as well if you're not super comfortable coming out and dining in.
That's good information.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll double it up so you could do it for takeout as well. So just keep your eyes peeled for that.
Oh, that's interesting. Nina Testaverde Goodick says, thank you to Minglewood also. They're collaborating with us at the Cape Ann Museum and the Facebook group. We are all in this together to provide a hot meal for the Grace Center next month. That's very nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we're looking forward to partnering up with them again was it February 10th? We're doing a little luncheon. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, Jack, tomorrow being Monday, are you still doing the Fusion Mondays with the Indian Fusion meets? Nice.
Yeah, so the Little Red Rooster down the hallway does a Indian-themed chicken sandwich every Monday. And we use ingredients from Taj, and then they've been making things at Taj with our ingredients, doing like a little bit of a cross-utilization of both restaurants.
And where is Taj located for the viewers?
3 Duncan Street. It's the former Alchemy space. Everyone seems to know Alchemy. So it's that spot right there is now Breakwater Roasters / Taj. They have coffee, breakfast sandwich in the morning, and then it kind of flips over into a takeout. There are some tables to dine in as well.
And Tuesday night is wing night?
Yes, Tuesday night is wing night. And we're hoping to get trivia back as soon as we possibly can. We're looking forward to that.
Open what up?
Trivia.
Oh. Trivia always goes. We haven't been able to do it, but as soon as we're allowed to, it'll be back going strong with the wing night.
Oh, because that coincides with wing night. Are there any other special nights during the course of the week? Do you have a burger night, Zach?
We don't. So we're a lot of our promos were music themed. So we're kind of waiting for that to be opened up so we can really start getting back on where we were before. So
I gotcha. All right. Well, thank you for that, Zach. I appreciate it. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think I'm just going to get going and get ready for service.
All right, buddy. Well, you can stick around. Whatever you want to do is cool with us. And we appreciate everything you do for the community. We love your restaurant, and your servers are great. Your food is great. And we love being part of that.
Thank
you. Part of that Serenity group. The reward program is outrageous. So
Zach, Super Bowl predictions.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait. Zach, this is very important because he's a knowledgeable man and I value his opinion. Okay, ready, Zach?
Yep.
The spread was 3, okay? Yep. Tampa Bay was getting 3. Now, I was gonna bet on the Chiefs -3. Okay. But it was to do that you had to bet it was -123. So say it was just to use round figures, say it was $100 bet. You bet $100, you would only win 81 on Kansas City -3. And if you was and the Tampa Bay was +3, and it was -110. What is your bet there?
I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Oh wow! You say Brady's gonna roll.
I think Brady's gonna roll. I think it's gonna be a close one. I think Brady does classic Brady, and I think he drives down the field and they win by a field goal, 43-40.
Oh. And he's getting 3 points. So there you go. There's the bet. All right, book it. I was actually going to bet Kansas City because they're just their offensive weapons, but I decided to not do anything because I really want to root for Brady and I don't want to be conflicted.
Joey Foote says Chiefs.
Yeah, that pick
seven.
Is.
Zach, what did you say?
I'm picking with my. I'm just hoping that Tampa Bay wins. I'm not going to be shocked if KC wins this game, but I hope Tampa Bay pulls it off 43-40.
Yeah, I think Kansas City's going to win, but I don't know, we'll see. Anyway, yeah. Thank you so much, Zach. I appreciate you coming on, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Good to see
you
all.
Thank
you, Zach. Bye-bye. Stay safe, everybody.
See you
anyone
soon.
Know, does anyone know what the weather is going to be in Tampa Sunday?
I don't know. We have Brian LaFada with us, the Gloucester Athletic Director. And we're going to bring him on right now. Hey, Brian.
Good morning.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. How's everyone doing?
Good. Good morning.
Just trying to stay warm.
I hear that.
I've been loving the work that you guys have been doing to bring the games to live streaming between Cape Ann Live and the Gloucester Fishermen Athletic Web Facebook page. If I'm down the dock and it's slow, or if I'm at home and it's the middle of the afternoon and no boats are fishing, it's great entertainment.
Yeah, no, if there's one of the few positives out of this pandemic and COVID and everything, it's that we've had to expand our horizons and start live streaming to give the families, fans, everybody visiting fans the opportunity to watch the game. So typically, Cape Ann Live, they've been our go-to. Jim Capillo, Lisa Olson, Phil Nicastro have always been great for us for a few years and doing mostly varsity games. And they're getting everywhere nonstop out of their own volunteer time. So it's been great. And then, I had to start expanding my skills with Facebook Live and live streaming. And so I've been to a lot of JV hockey games, JV girls basketball, boys basketball, live streaming myself up there. So it's worked out pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Hold on 1 second. I just got to make sure my I just got a
Brian. Why don't you for a second for all the fans that are we have a lot of fans that are not out of state.
Yep.
Briefly, just tell them what you have to go through. That who's not allowed in, who's allowed in to watch games. Just fill them in because everyone has different rules.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, all over the country there's different rules. We try and keep up with all the various states and where people are at. For us right now, we're in our winter season, so obviously all the sports are indoors right now. Between our basketball, hockey, swim and dive, and gymnastics. And thankfully, with the blessing of our school committee, the mayor, Karen Carroll, Superintendent Lummis, we're able to have 2 home fans per home player in the game. So if our basketball team's playing with 12 to maybe 15 kids, each of them get to have 2 people that live in their household attend the game. So we have somebody, my assistant athletic director, Pat Barry, otherwise known as Flip to many people in the area. He sits at the front door. He has to do a check-in for every person, has to do a temperature check, make sure we know who everyone is walking in the school, and go from there. So that's for both hockey and basketball right now. We're at that limit. Unfortunately, with swim and dive and gymnastics, they are smaller venues. So We aren't allowed to have any fans, unfortunately, in there. So we're trying to do our best to live stream as many of those as possible, which most people definitely didn't expect that. Basketball and hockey you see a lot on TV and in live stream, but we're trying to do our best to get all the sports covered.
Brian, do they have like lanyards for each family member? Is that, I've seen that done in other school systems. Is that you have your own special lanyard, or you can't come in, or?
Some schools did it. We all worked together, all the different ADs with ideas, and some of them did it. We didn't do it here. All I did up front at the beginning of the season is I email all the families directly, and I just say, I need you to give me every name of the people in your household that may show up. So it makes it easier for my assistant athletic director. When they walk in, there's already a full list. He can just check the names real quick, doesn't have to write it down. The other risk that I thought about with lanyards is just getting passed around.
That's right, yep.
And COVID and everything. But like I said, everyone does it different, the different high schools, as long as they get approval from their local DPH and everything. But for us, that's worked pretty well through the fall and winter season.
Great.
Yeah, no, I think we're lucky with the Gloucester High School with the gymnasium is really, the field house is really, really big. So it's not difficult at all to distance inside there for sure. Talbot Arena is the same thing.
Right. Yeah. We're very lucky with our facilities. You see, especially watching some of the other live streams and knowing the other facilities around the league and around the area, some of the people have smaller gyms. I mean, if you watch our basketball game and we've got 18 chairs, that's the most you're allowed for a coaching staff and for a team of 15 players. But I mean, they're four rows, six feet apart, and you're not seeing too many close huddles or anything of that sort. The hockey game's always a challenge. Talbot Rink's great. The staff, the DPW and the guys, Stevie Cahill and all his guys, they're unbelievable with as far as keeping the place clean. And just having the space there, they push some of the bleachers in. So there's kind of makeshift areas for the kids to get not fully dressed. They have to show up in the rink with most of their stuff on, but at least they get an area to put the skates on. And we've got a lot of bench area good, which is good. That's one of my tough jobs is having to go over to hockey coaches and tell them to space out their bench and use the area outside of the bench. It's usually that's obviously a bench that's very closely packed with players, and trying to avoid all that close contact throughout at least an hour and a half game is tough.
Hey, Brian, yeah. I hope in the spring that you put golf and tennis on TV as well. So if that's a request for me and Joe.
All righty.
Don't forget those sports, especially since you have swimming in there.
We'll do our best. The one thing is golf is now a fall sport up here. So we through that season. So we don't, and trust me, I'd love to be on the golf cart just driving around live streaming golf. That'd be the most important time at Bash Rocks. But the tennis, we'll have to work on the tennis. Coach Geary, our hockey coach, is one of our tennis coaches. And we'll see what we can come up with at the
Brian, I don't know if Lisa and Phil would be able to do the golf talk.
Yes, no, good point right there, Jim.
What is the situation for football? Where are we at with that?
Well, just Friday, the MIAA released modifications and guidelines for the fall 2 season, they're calling it. This year is that rare year, like I think we covered previously, that they're having 4 seasons this year instead of 3. So football, indoor track and cheering are supposed to take place starting February 22nd. So from February 22nd to April 25th, basically the end of April vacation is that season for those sports. And we did just receive modifications, several pages of rule changes, or for football specifically, it's a lot like hockey where there's not a lot of changes on the ice or on the field. There's only so much they can do, but it's more about guidelines on the sidelines, spacing, protocols like that. So my coaching staff, Coach O'Connor, myself, everyone, we're starting to dig through all those protocols to see what we can do to pull off a football season, or at least practices starting on February 22nd.
How many games are they projecting?
We're looking at, I want to say we've been tossing it around a lot, just looking at the amount of time. It would be a max of 7 games. There is no postseason this year. We didn't have a postseason for the fall, we didn't have it for the winter, and we're not going to have it for fall too. So it's just a matter of us trying to get league games in and opportunities for the student athletes to play, which it's been like I said, up to this point. At this point, still the spring season, which has been pushed back, which is your baseball, lacrosse, tennis, outdoor track, those That's been pushed back to April 26th now, so it's after the fall too. There's still an outside chance that they could have some sort of playoffs or state tournament or even sectional tournament for those sports. I know we're going to try and do everything for that season. They were obviously last year when we first had done a live stream, the one season that just lost everything. Last year's spring season, they didn't have any sort of modified sport or anything. So we're going to do whatever we can to try and get that season as close to normal as possible.
That's great. Brian, I have a question for you concerning the boosters. If you happen to know anything about this, have you found it harder for the teams to like support these sports, especially with families not working right now, or a lot of families not being able to work due to COVID, and raise funds for these, maybe some of the students that can't afford to play sports? What's going on in that aspect? If you could touch on that a bit.
Yeah, well, we it's set up in different groups. We actually have boosters for each individual sport that they do for more extracurricular. With the athletic department, obviously, we do have user fees, and each family has a user fee per sport. We haven't run into too many issues, but even before the pandemic, we've always, if we know there's any situations, we do whatever we can to help. The Gloucester Fishermen Athletic Association that everyone's pretty familiar with, that's behind a lot of big purchases and boosting of athletics, they help out with any user fees typically that are, it would be a financial hardship for any families. The school district does a great job with the full lunch, reduced lunch, free lunch type of rates. So some families may qualify for a cheaper rate for user fees anyways. But like I said, the GFAA has been, they've been great even before I started here with assisting with families that might need help with user fees.
How are the numbers for signups there, Brian, you know, for this? Well, I keep calling it the pre-spring season, but you called it the fall.
The fall two. Yeah. Because they're generally fall sports.
Right.
They're putting them then. The numbers right now, we're about average. There are some families that have elected to opt out the year just due to safety concerns, or maybe individuals living in their households that might be medically compromised or anything, so that's understandable. So the numbers, they might be down slightly. Say a perfect example, just like our boys basketball team, we'd usually have three levels, freshman, JV, and varsity, where this year the numbers just didn't support that, so we just had to go with a JV and varsity for this year. But hopefully we get through this year and things start to pick up. It also depends on the enrollment numbers at the school. Our junior, senior classes are a little bit smaller enrollment numbers anyway for the total student body. Well, right now our freshman class is a pretty good size class, and I believe the next ones coming up are as well.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine playing football if there's do you have an idea on how to keep the field? You got to put like a tarp over the field or something?
I wish we did. It's funny. I just actually texted some of the DPW head, Mark Cole and Scotty Amara, who watches over Newell Stadium all the time, to just start planning ahead to see what's been done in the past for the turf. In my few years here, we haven't had an opportunity to have to really remove snow. And so it's a play-it-by-ear situation. They have special plows or companies that would come in to do it, but that gets very costly. Because they've got obviously customized plows so they don't damage the turf or go pulling off too many of the rubber pellets that are on the field. So fingers crossed that we get a little storm here in the next couple of days, and that's about it for us for the rest of the year. It would be nice, but fingers crossed on that one.
Good thoughts. Yeah, no doubt, because that could be the frozen tundra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, looking out there right now, I just walked into the office, and it really does look like the frozen tundra looking over the water over Newell Stadium.
Yeah, it really does. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, all in all, things have gone very well. We've been very lucky with Gloucester Athletics. A lot of people have heard throughout, especially the winter season, has been a challenge. Once we've moved indoors for all sports and trying to space kids out, the kids wearing their masks, the parents staying spaced out and having to limit the fans has been very challenging for everybody. But the coaches, parents, kids, the staff and faculty have been great up to this point. Like I said, we've been very lucky. A lot of schools, we're seeing individual teams. Every day I get emails, this team for this school shut down, this team shut down for 2 weeks. So it's been quite a challenge. I do have a few more grays in my beard right now, trying to keep up with the constant schedule changes and making sure we're trying to play. But all in all, considering everything going on, We've been very lucky to get the kids out there playing, and hopefully we got about 3 more weeks left of this winter season. We go through that, we'll be good. The other thing I did mention, the GFAA, real quickly, and obviously the live streams we were talking about. They actually stepped up just recently, helping us out with this whole live stream situation. We just purchased 3 cameras that will be permanently fixed at the stadium, one in the field house and one at Talbot Rink. So in the very near future, and this is obviously ongoing forever, not just during a pandemic, those will always be there, and they're going to live stream every GHS event or O'Malley sport that we might have playing. There is a subscription base, like maybe $6 a month, or you get it 60 for a year. But if you're a parent that has a kid that plays football, then he plays hockey, and then lacrosse, you've got 3 seasons worth of sports. If he's playing on one of those 3 facilities,
that's awesome.
You can easily log in. So a big thank you to the GFAA for helping with that. They actually just installed the Talbot Rink in the field house cameras the end of this past week. And obviously it was a little chilly out there, so the guys didn't want to go out and do Newell Stadium yet. But so that's exciting news for us for, like I said, not just the immediate future, but just for years down the line for all the athletes and families and fans coming in. Well,
I appreciate you tagging me when you know, you do your daily schedule, and it's a nice way for us to be able to get the news out to the public of, you know, these are the schedules that you can, and here's the links that you can check out all the different games, whether it be on Cape Ann Live or the Gloucester Fishermen Athletic website. So, and honestly, Brian, every person I talk to around town, when they bring up the job you're doing, it's like they get a big smile on their face and how happy they are with the work that you've been putting in to make this all happen. So kudos to you.
I appreciate it. Well worth it, like I said, getting them out there and actually playing and everything. And then, like I said, thank you to you. I mean, it's great having an outlet like yourself. I mean, obviously, we go through Nick Kukru and the Gloucester Times to try and promote as much as possible. But anytime I tag you on Twitter or Instagram right away, I see it getting shared. And obviously, with so many in the community, or like you guys have people all over the country, I know there's grandparents that are down in Florida and everything that are enjoying the fact they can watch live streams of their grandkids. So big kudos to you guys helping us out, too.
Yeah, I see the numbers week after week just keep climbing and climbing. So people are getting turned on to it. So Brian, tomorrow, I don't know if you're a hockey guy, I'm not sure how old you were in the late 70s, early 80s, if you went to any of those insane hockey games with those teams. You're probably too young to.
I'm a little too young. I was a little one then, but I mean, I've seen all the posts, and I'm definitely going to try and tune into that, because there should be some pure entertainment.
Going to be epic. Yeah. A lot of savages.
I don't know if I can promote it too much with our younger guys here. They start getting ideas that they'll be doing on our teams now, then that changes my whole job right here.
Well, thanks for being with us, Brian. I appreciate
it. Brian, I've got to tell you, as a coach, a fan, anything, you know, that's involved with it, you're doing a great job. And I know the parents really, really appreciate everything you're doing. Hang in there. You're doing great.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Brian.
See ya.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know we've been saying it, but I mean, to think about it, an athletic director has to schedule all the games and deal with everything. But now, I mean, in the winter, you got to deal with travel. You got to deal with buses. You got to deal with all these things. Now, let's put on top, a school has some sick players or possible problems, and you have to make all these reschedules. So let's add that mix right into it and still follow the guidelines that it set up, or they'll shut you down.
I got a topic I want to talk about. The town of Somerville voted 9-0 in favor of legalizing psychedelic mushrooms.
During the pandemic would that happen.
Is this? Have we gone fucking bananas? 9-0. No one dissenting that. Am I missing something? Like
groundbreaking, like Amsterdam. You know.
When I was growing up, like if someone did mushrooms, they were like a complete fucking degenerate, right? Not like smoking weed or something like that. Like mushrooms was the level of. You are a fucking a fucking maniac, right? You're a drug person. You're a druggie. No, am I wrong?
Well, that was the general conception from the Canal Club.
What's the Canal Club? I don't know what that is. I don't know the reference. Club
was, oh, you went to Bishop Fenwick. That's right. The Canal Club was the big tree that was located on the canal of the Annisquam River, where everyone at the time we would sneak off to smoke cigarettes and whatever else. Back in the, you know, I'd say, you know, maybe even the 60s up through like the 90s.
I gotcha. But yeah, I mean, how do you guys feel about this? I mean, is this crazy? Is it insane? Or like what? What do you guys think about it?
Well, I didn't read the article, so I can't. There's got to be a reason why they would do it.
I think it's for medical reasons only, Joe.
No.
You sure?
I read the article. No. It's,
I thought there was one other state that did the same thing, but it was for medicinal purposes only.
I think it was Iowa or somewhere out west.
Yeah,
they decriminalized it and saying it's a low priority is what
really?
They
said. Yeah. I mean, I'm in favor as long as you mix it with steak and cheese.
Steak, cheese, or tuna eggs.
I like mushrooms in my steak and cheese.
The linguica, peppers and onions.
Maybe mushroom pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Are we going to do a taste test with this now?
Nope.
I'm out. A taste test.
Check, please.
If we're in Somerville.
Oh, yeah, only in Somerville.
You can stare at the abstract art behind my head.
I feel like this is like banana land. Like what the fuck? What is going on? This is craziness. Pat, I wanted you, Jimmy. Can you focus on Pat because?
I always do.
She worked the. She worked the vaccination clinic.
Yeah, and I want to
give you the floor here and talk a little bit about your experience.
I wanted to share with people some expectations when you attend a vaccination clinic. Yes, I volunteered at Salem College this week for a vaccination clinic, and the number one piece of advice I want to give people. Before you go is to make sure that you are eligible, that you are in the phase that is eligible. Unfortunately, the website allows people to sign up for an appointment, even if they're not eligible. So you could get your 82-year-old grandmother to the clinic
and
find out that they're not eligible. However, starting tomorrow, 75 and plus age is going into effect to be eligible for the vaccine. So the number one advice is just make sure you're eligible. The program may let you sign up for an appointment, but you may get turned away when you're there if you are not eligible. And that is not the fault of the people who are working the clinic. Every single once you get inside the door, it was very efficient. It was very well managed and set up. And people were moving right through. There weren't people standing outside in the cold like people have been worrying about. They don't encourage you to show up early. But when you go, just make sure you're in an eligible group. And once you get there, my experience the other day was it was very efficient. So I encourage everybody to make their appointments and double check your eligibility and be patient, but it was pretty easy and it was very efficient.
Oh, there you go. All right. Mr. McCarthy, does anybody have any questions about the vaccination clinic? If you do, type them in a comment and Pat will answer them for you.
If you can.
Thanks for volunteering. And you got your shot. Do you have any pain since you've gotten your shot?
I did get my shot because I was working the clinic. I was allowed to get the shot. And a little bit of soreness in my arm, but nothing major.
How about that thing that's growing from your forehead?
I know. We're gonna work on that. Reporting that to the CDC.
There you go. You got that going. Chris Thompson says, as a recovering addict with many years clean, I say no way to the legalizing of mushrooms.
That's true.
Which, to me, it's kind of insane. The next topic I'd like to talk about is your supermarket parking strategy. Because different people have different kind of things where they like to park when you go to the supermarket. Are you a person that tries to get the very closest spot and you will drive around in circles several times until you can get one within like four or five spot of the front? Are you a person that parks closest to the cart return thing, no matter where the cart return thing is? Are you a person that has a fear of getting your car scratched, so you park 10, you know, way, 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 way far away because there's no cars around you to ding up your doors? Who wants to go? Scotty, what kind of supermarket car parker are you?
So there's multiple factors that go into play when I go. The weather, for one, depends on if it's pouring rain out versus nice weather, where I'll tend to try to get like a closer spot, in the rain. I tend to stay away from the shopping carriage carousels at all costs because of the basic lack of respect for one's vehicles, and they just slam these things across the parking lot instead of walking them over, just see if they can actually get them in there. And if it's full, they kind of congregate outside of that carousel area, which can be damaging to your vehicle. And then the third factor for me, actually, there's two other factors. A third factor would be the shitbox factor. If you go and there's an open spot and it's close and there's an absolute shitbox that has 47 bumper stickers and a bumper hanger, I'm not parking next to that vehicle. Just not going to happen. And then the other one is if I'm taking my mom grocery shopping or if I'm with my significant other, and it plays into their feelings as well. So there's my take.
There you go. Nicole.
Wow. That's a lot.
That was a lot.
I never thought about that until just now, but if I have Scotty on the spot, there it is.
Scotty on the spot. I love that. Yeah, weather for sure, but I mean, no, I just take I guess for me, it's the angle, you're pulling in and whether you're veering right or you're veering left, and which one you can get into easier, but I just take the first spot I find. I don't know. I would be more inclined, until Scotty said that, I'd be more inclined to try to park near the return cart place, but I guess you're right. But my car has a few dings in it anyway, so I'm not, 2 years ago when it was newer, I would have cared, but now it's the first one. I will say a Market Basket, I like to park in that little side, that last row up against, if you're walking out of Market Basket to the far left. The little rail is that goes down the hill. I like that. But yeah, I'm a first spot available kind of person.
Pat.
Oh, well, I like to park so that I have access to my trunk, that the trunk is out and I don't have to be between cars to access the trunk.
Junk in the trunk.
I do like to park closer to the carousel to facilitate the return of the carts. But I don't mind parking further out. And I also like to park on the exit side of the entryway.
McCarthy.
Jim likes to park next to the only other car in an empty parking lot.
I'm surprised because the Mustang, I would think that he'd park way far away.
You would think, because we take that grocery shopping.
No. No.
And then push back his way through the parking lot when he's done?
Nothing seems grocery getter like a Mustang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm notorious for – I'm very guilty about pulling in to a spot but then going forward if it's open in front of me. Mm-hmm. So I'm now pointing out that's one she brought up that – but then the trunk is between somebody and I did that wrong. But I was thinking, hey, I want to get in. I want to get out. So I'm very guilty on that. I do agree. I'd like to go near the exit. So I go to the left, Stop and Shop. But when you're over at the Jaws right in town by the railroad station, that is a hit or miss. And I do mean that, hit or miss. You've got to find a spot where they're not flying in quick because they got to do their quick run in to the liquor store while they leave the car running. You know, that they're parking in, they come in for a landing, as I call it. That's a tough one, that parking area. So that's how I do it.
Hey, Joey, we have Derek Frontera says, I work at Market Basket and the cart issue is a big deal.
Yeah. There you go. Chris, how about you?
Thank you, Derek.
He's on mute. Chris, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry about that. I park in, I'm a Stop and Shop guy. I park in one of the four spots for the pickup online ordering.
Walk in.
Because those are usually open, so I'm looking for...
I thought you were going to say the pregnant lady spot.
No, I typically stay away from that. But
so you're a princess parker.
No, but I think the bigger question to Derek's point is how many of us actually who use a cart and bring it outside, return it to the appropriate spot, bring it back to the front of the supermarket, or do they just leave it in front of their car?
More times than none, they just leave it there. It's a suck person that does that.
Yeah, I'd be curious with Derek. Because I'm sure Derek finds carriages throughout the entire parking lot. I have found myself bringing the carts back. I must say, years ago, I was the guy that just threw the cart wherever I wanted to. But now, as I get older, I'm looking to help out and be as nice as I can.
You want to earn your smock.
It's going to fly into your car.
Charlene says the concern is if it's windy, the cart's going to blow and hit somebody's car. And
right.
As long as it's not my car.
It's common sense and common courtesy.
Yeah. I'm with Chris as far as the Stop and Shop four car things where they have the signs for pickup. I'm a daily Stop and Shop shopper. I mean, I'm going to say – maybe not 7 days a week, but 6 days a week. I peruse the sales at Stop and Shop. As you know, value guy, right? Big value guy. So those four spots that are reserved for people to pull in there, and then they bring the groceries out to them. Out of 100 days, there might be 2 days with his cars in those parking spots. And I may or may not feel... one of those.
You're the one who told me to park there, Joe. That was a great right. suggestion. So thank you.
Do you park there when you go to the beach too, Joey?
No. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that because I'm pro. I love their business. I love Stop and Shop, but I think that those four spots that are allotted, they drive me up a wall because there's no one ever in them, ever.
Yeah. Can I swing back for 1 second and address a question that Joey Foot asked about the vaccination clinic?
Go ahead.
What I think his question is if there is a medical problem after you get the shot. And one thing I want to mention is that they did have EMTs on site that day that I was there. And yeah, there's a waiting period before you go, they let you leave the building. And they give you a link to check in daily as to how you're feeling. So I think they're being very responsive in the planning for potential reactions. I didn't see a single reaction the day that I was there, but I mean, that's not to say it didn't occur, but the ambulance didn't get called in or leave or anything.
You
like
know,
that.
There probably are very, 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 very few reactions, but that's going to make the newspaper so that, you know, and then the people that read it are going to act like that's a huge thing that, you know, it's probably more,
but
David Leader says, I'm a Market Basket shopper. I deeply appreciate the people that work there. They're always kind and happy at their work. I will park wherever, he said. So he's got that going. Big news. I should have led with this maybe, but it's really, really huge news. But the movie that was filmed in Gloucester 2 years ago, Coda, And we posted, you know, pictures around town when they were filming it, has set a record at Sundance. The rights for the movie was bought by Apple for just north of $25 million, which set a new Sundance acquisitions record above the $22.5 million that Palm Springs received last year from Hulu. And it was based, the movie was shot in Gloucester 2 years ago. So congratulations to the producers and the actors and everything. And I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. Coda, C-O-D-A. I read a bunch of reviews as well, and people were raving about it. So there you go.
Coda is for Child of Deaf Adults.
Yeah, that's what the acronym stands for. And
I had a chance to meet a few of those actors, actually, through Joe Borland when they were in town. And what nice people. What nice people.
Well, they're doing really well now because that everybody's gonna, they're gonna be really well received. They've been very well received at Sundance and set a record, so that's huge. My friend Sang Lee, Sushi Sang Lee, Omakase Takeout today. I think there's a couple slots open for today. If you go to www.sushisanglee.com. There's a couple of slots available for today, and that's at Tono. But he's moving next week, Thursday through Sunday, to Savor Wine and Cheese. So people should be aware. I'm going to get some sushi tonight. But today is Tono. Next Thursday to Sunday, he's moving to Savor Wine and Cheese. So I wanted to get that out there.
Joey, so you say Savor, right? Is that you just said, say the name of the cheese shop again?
Savor.
I mean, this is always comes up in conversation.
Savor.
People try to, yeah, I don't know. I always say Savor, but some people say.
Well, if you think about it, I'm savoring this cheese. I'm savoring this wine. I'm savoring this dinner. It's not Savor, right? Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought, but I was happy you said it to see in case I've been saying it wrong.
Scotty, you want to do a reminder?
Sure. Just everybody that's watching today, thank you first and foremost for chiming in each week and all the comments. And for those that have been here in the past, we ask you to share the podcast. And you type shared on Facebook, and then you share the podcast in order to win a prize. We have a random number generator that Joey will shake at the end of the podcast to see who will actually win these prizes. Today, Joe, why don't you tell us what our prize is?
Our prize is a 4-pack of toilet paper. Stop and Shop 4-pack. Very, very, a very highly sought after prize this week.
Come with a Good Morning Gloucester sticker, Joe?
I will throw in a Good Morning Gloucester sticker.
That's a perfect segue for you to explain how you get your Good Morning Gloucester stickers.
So you can get a Good Morning Gloucester sticker if you send a self stamped and addressed envelope to 95 East Main Street, Gloucester, Massachusetts, care of Joey. I'll say that again slowly. 95 East Main Street, Gloucester, Massachusetts, care of Joey. And it has to be a inside of an envelope, it has to be a self-stamped addressed envelope back to yourself. So I can just stick the sticker in there, or Jimmy will stick the sticker in there and send it back out to you.
Now, is there any charge for these stickers, Joe?
No charge, as long as you do follow the instructions.
And the instructions would be?
Jesus.
Again.
You fucking with me?
No. I'd like to start a campaign, Joe, where when you get your sticker, that they send a photo into Good Morning Gloucester of what they did in utilizing their sticker.
Like Nick's Roast Beef.
People do that quite often. They kind of got off track with it, but I think that's a great idea, and thanks for the reminder, Scotty. Well, we have 13 shares so far, which is awesome. I love that.
Let me talk about your experience with the Mill restaurant. I know that you had a great takeout thing that you brought, a prepared dinner thing.
Yeah, this isn't very timely. Hi, Charlene. This isn't very timely.
Yeah, okay. I have forgotten. Never mind.
No, it's great though, Jimmy. It isn't. Hey, the only reason it's not timely is because they're going away for a couple of weeks for vacation.
Yeah.
But we got a takeout from there. The sandwiches from the mill. It's called the Mill Essex, and it's, I don't know what the name of that little plaza is, if it's Schooner Plaza or something, but it's in Essex. Did it used to be Puna?
Was that Schooner? There's a Schooner. There's a place called the Schooner Market right there. And there's a pet store.
Okay. It used to be Puna's Market. Now I think it's called Schooner Market in Essex. But they have roughly, I would say, 6 entrees and about 7 or 8 side dishes, all very reasonably priced to go home and reheat for your family. I got it for my sister's family last night and the girls. We got a chicken marsala, kale and sweet potato salad, peanut Thai noodles, and Brussels sprout salad. Every single thing was out of this world and super reasonably priced. And the sandwiches, Wayne, thank you for bringing that up. The sandwiches on a nice panini, really good, really, really good.
Yeah, so mark your calendars, folks. Put it after February 14th, my fault.
No, not your fault at all. It's on the show notes. I wanted to bring it up. It's just, for people to try to remember that they'll be open on the 14th.
Hey, Joe.
And today.
I'm in my kitchen. I'm doing a live cooking session right now. I'm cooking an omelet. So if any of the listeners want to come down to the McCarthy household, I'm serving breakfast.
I'll be right there.
I had breakfast this morning at Mom's Kitchen. Actually, I'd like to spread it around. In the past week, we went to two sisters, went to George's, the office. We went to Mom's Kitchen. And we went to Zeke's. So we're spreading it around. But the breakfast at the McCarthy house, that's a tough sell on me. There's so many great places in town, Chris.
I'll be right there. I'll be right there. So one more, Pat, you wanted to bring up Oliver's Harbor?
Oh yes. Oh my goodness. We had a lovely dinner at Oliver's Harbor. They are, you have said it before, they are definitely a hidden gem. I think it was Friday night when we went. It's fairly quiet in there. There were some people. I had the filet mignon and it was just, I kept moaning a little bit and saying, oh my God, this is perfect. And Jim was like, why, thank you, dear. But I was like, no, it's the meat.
Why, thank you, dear.
Yeah.
It's the meat.
But I mean, the service is great. The food is great. It's quiet in there. They're right on Main Street. Awesome.
Pat said, thanks for the drinks. Thanks for the meat, Jimmy.
And the drinks.
We should make a t-shirt that says, it has Pat's face. And it says, thanks for the meat, Jimmy.
hey, meat. Why do they call you meat?
Porky's reference right there.
It says, where's the meat?
Where's the beef? All right, we're gonna do our drawing right now. Oh, but two pieces of business. Tomorrow night, we're going to be at Beauport for a $12 burger night. Burger and a craft beer, awesome home-cut French fries, $12. We'll be there tomorrow night. The omakase we already talked about. I think that might be it, right?
No, Tuesday night.
What's that?
Tuesday night.
What's Tuesday night?
Hockey.
Your podcast?
Oh, thank you, Jimmy. The Tuesday night, the Legends of Gloucester Hockey, that's between the 78 and 83 team, when in my mind, there wasn't anything as exciting in Gloucester sports history as those hockey games. Going to have some legends: Jimmy Douglas, Scott McDonald, Ray D'Amico, Gapa Frontero, Barry Clifford. And it's going to be no holds barred. I told them they can say anything, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope you join us there. We're going to so Pat, we got 13 shares?
13 shares. There's a couple people who also shared that didn't want the toilet paper for some reason, but we have 13 that are interested.
Okay. Let me.
Is it true they have to send in a video if they win the toilet paper? Is it true they need to submit their review and
I would appreciate that. I think that's only fair. All right, here we go. We're going to do the random generator. I have to put my finger there. Ready? And number eight
is Brenda Shockley Leahy.
Oh, all right. You can do it at the Elks.
Yep.
All right.
See, guys, nobody wants the toilet paper right now, Joe, but months ago when you couldn't find it on the shelves, hot commodity, I'm saying hold on to this.
This is going to be big. This is big, big, big. Well, thank you guys for joining me. It's always a blast. Join us Tuesday night for the hockey podcast at 7 p.m. And I hope everybody has a great day.
I don't know how Chris can see with those Magoo glasses. Mr.
Wait, wait, wait. Did everybody give their Super Bowl predictions? Go ahead, Scotty, Super Bowl prediction. Who wins?
I'm going Tampa. I mean, I'm a Brady fan and a New England fan. I think it's going to be a great game, very entertaining. But I think the outcome, forget the points, just Tampa overall.
Nicole?
I'm going Kansas City by 6.
Okay. Pat and Jimmy?
Kansas City. I agree. It's going to be a shootout. Wouldn't be surprised it goes into overtime.
I'm McCarthy. Thinking.
Chris.
The omelet has got him distracted.
I'm rooting for Tom Brady, but I think Kansas City's going to win. I hope Chris, you enjoy your omelet.
I want to bring a great day. I'd like to bring a motion to the floor, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to roll my topic over to next week. We'll hold on to my topic for next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea.
All right. Sounds good. We got people chiming in with their scores right here.
Yeah, lots. Wow.
All right. I'll see you guys. Have a good
day.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.